This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. All eyes are on Brazil this weekend as the World Cup final approaches. Sure, it's only a game, but historical data show that the effects of this tournament go far beyond the walls of the stadium. In fact, researchers have documented that losses in soccer matches can move stock prices. Scholars looked at more than 30 years of results from the World Cup, the European Championship, and Copa America, and studied their impact on stock indices in 50 countries. UNC Chapel Hill finance professor Diego Garcia is part of a research team, and he joins us today to talk about the findings. Diego Garcia, welcome. Good to have you here.
Hi, Frank. How are you?
I'm doing well. So tell me about how, first of all, how did this idea connecting sort of the outcome of soccer games to stock markets, how did that come about?
So there was already some research that showed that things that seem to affect mood actually affected the stock market. And in particular, there have been some studies on the weather and the stock market. And the effects were actually very small, hard to detect statistically. And I was a bit skeptical, to be honest. So arguing with a good friend of mine, we basically made the case that if the weather actually affected the stock markets, then something like football should have a huge impact. I was born and raised in Spain, and I know what happens to the country when we're playing a World Cup match. And when Spain loses, which happens often enough, at least when I was growing up, it was a big disappointment. So we went out and tried to get the data to test this, and it was a very simple test. You can just get the dates of the matches, you look at the outcome, and you see what happens on the stock market the day after. And lo and behold, there was actually a correlation. When a country lost a match in the World Cup the next day, the stock markets, on average, went down.
So which markets? Because we're sort of globally connected. So what are you looking
at? So this is kind of the beauty of this study, because we have a very strong effect on the mood of a whole population of a country. So we're thinking about the stock market indexes of Spain, Italy, England, France, Germany. So we can, the FTSE would be the most famous
in this one.
So we're looking at the main indexes in each of these countries. It's much harder to do this type of a study in the U.S. because, a Patriots win may make some people happy, but many others unhappy.
Right.
Whereas a Spain loss in Spain is going to make most, almost everybody, very upset.
So you and then that's the point. We do have these indices. So there is the Dow Jones Industrial Average or the NASDAQ, which would indicate what's going on in the United States. As you say, we're a little more split up. But the FTSE is the British index, and we know that each nation has a certain set of stocks that represent the kind of main body or representative stocks in that country.
Yeah, those are the large cap capitalization of stocks in that country. So that was what we're looking at.
All right. So losses and prices fall on those indexes, right?
Absolutely.
How about a win?
This is the really interesting part, I think, of the study, that there is no much action after wins. This is surprising because we all become very happy when our country wins in the World Cup. And that does not seem to affect the stock markets or affect investor behavior. So there is this really strong asymmetry between wins and losses.
And this asymmetry is also reflected in psychological research, right? Psychologists have also noted this kind of effect.
So if you want to separate econ versus psychology in terms of research, psychologists have been making this big distinction between the domain of gains and the domain of losses for a long time. And there is lots of experiments that seem to suggest that humans react very differently to positive versus negative stimuli. And that would be consistent with our findings.
So we really do, we react more. Like a bad outcome really affects us more than a good outcome.
Absolutely.
And it sticks with us and our memory of it. So, but this puts lie to the sort of the whole notion of the invisible hand is that we are all rational actors working in our best interest all the time. And no, we're not.
Well, once in a while, we're not.
Occasionally. And, of course, this is only correlation. We can't really say that this is a cause, but it's awfully good, awfully strong correlation.
It's an observational study, so you're going to make a causal link. But it's a pretty clean study in the sense that the outcome of a World Cup game does not have a lot to do with the earnings of the companies in these countries. It's a very far-fetched argument to say that Spain beating Italy means that the Spanish companies are going to be having higher earnings.
Right.
I don't think so.
So what do you think is at play here? I mean, again, if I'm at the match and I'm cheering or I'm starting to now cry in my beer, we're not going to win. When do I start thinking about calling my broker and telling him or her to sell?
Well, I mean, our hypothesis is you go to bed pretty upset because of the game. Most of these games are played in the evenings. And then the next day you wake up and you're more pessimistic about your country if your country lost. And you're probably going to make some bad decisions. And that shows up in the stock market returns.
Well, so it might just be sort of a question of clouded judgment rather than an angry decision to sell off your stocks.
Yeah, absolutely. I would put it that way. The effect is also not huge. I mean, we're talking about a drop in the stock market of 0.4%, which if you put it in dollars, it's in the billions for most of these countries. Say England has a fairly large market cap, but it's not something that people can make money off.
Now, you and your colleagues did this research a while ago, right?
That's right.
So, and it's interesting too, because now if I'm a broker, right, and I get a hold of your research, this is very good information for me. I can pay attention to who's in these games and capitalize on this, right?
You could try to actually make some money out of this. The fact is it's small, but it's possible that you can make some money. Now, if I were a broker and I had some clients and they're from Brazil, say, I would advise them not to trade the day after a World Cup match.
Well, no, or get some bargains, right? I mean, the prices are going to go down on some of these stocks, and they're really undervalued because everybody was a little ticked off they lost the big match.
So if you're going to buy stocks, it may be a good idea to wait until the World Cup is over and all these countries' stock indexes go down. Absolutely.
All of them go down. And this is the other interesting thing. The fact is that they don't go up by as much after a win.
They virtually don't go up. So out of these 32 countries that are starting the World Cup, you would expect 31 of them would have at least one down day, if not more.
Some kind of now, are there ongoing studies now? Because you did yours a while ago, and
so we did our study in 2005. There've been a couple of follow-ups using other sports, using newer data, mostly supporting our findings.
How about I know you've done some work with cricket as well,
right? So in our original study, we looked not just at World Cup and Euro Cup and football in general, but we also looked at cricket, rugby, basketball. Out of this, cricket is probably the most interesting one because it is the number one sport in places like India, Pakistan, and so on. And we find exactly the same thing using that data, that there is virtually no effect after a win, but there is a sizable effect after a cricket loss.
And that's interesting, too, because, and I may be completely wrong about this. I suppose people are as invested in a cricket match as a soccer or football match, but we don't hear about as many riots and brawls breaking out at cricket matches. Maybe that's just because I'm not paying attention. Do people get as emotionally invested? Are the highs and lows in a sport like cricket the same as a game like soccer?
I presume so. I mean, I've never watched a cricket match, but I do know that about 95% of all advertisement revenue in India associated with the sports is from cricket.
So does your research now feed into, I mean, I talked about the fact that you have put lie to the notion that we're, you know, mostly rational actors or that the markets are essentially, you know, rational. I mean, are brokers and economists now over this idea that we're really, that this is a rational playing field that we're on?
I mean, stock prices are determined mostly by rational decision making, you know, earnings potential and so on and so forth. Our study shows that emotions also matter on the margin a little bit. But I think markets are pretty efficient. It's very hard to predict the Dow Jones Industrial Average, period.
Mm-hmm. Although, again, when you talk about some of the more, let's say, subtle factors that it would affect an emotion, prejudices about the way a business is doing business. If they're you know, cutting their margins, well, that must mean that they're going to – well, maybe not. Maybe it's they're wrecking their business. But if you only have, you know, two or three different metrics for measuring potential outcome or potential earnings, in a sense, there's an emotional preference for cutting and saving and –
The jury is out to what extent, you know, the markets are very efficient, very inefficient. This is still very much ongoing research. This year's Nobel Prize, you know, winners in economics are a good reflection. We have Fama saying markets are very efficient. You have Shiller saying markets are very inefficient. I think we're somewhere, at least the younger generation, we think that both matter. It's a matter of how much.
So the debate continues, and it's sometimes a rational debate and sometimes it's not.
Absolutely. There's a lot of heated conversations on this. I think, by and large, most of us are fairly reasonable. And we think that, yeah, markets are pretty efficient because it's very hard to predict them. But emotions matter.
Well, it's hard to predict emotions, too. I mean, it's not fair to say that, right? I mean, to some extent, you can't predict the markets, but then again, you can't predict how people are going to feel on any given day. And, of course, the big thing is that it's rare that we have events like a soccer match that fix the attention of an entire nation, so we can expect sort of a rise or fall sort of nationally.
We only have the World Cup every 4 years.
So the markets are safe for 3 years anyway. UNC Chapel Hill Finance Professor Diego Garcia, thanks so much for being on the program.
Thank you, Frank.
Just ahead, we're going to take a look at the history of the World Cup tournament on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.